I listen to a podcast almost every day. Where's the Bible around here? Come on now. There we go. So this happens every week, right? I don't have a Bible, and I take one out, and then here we are. I listen to a podcast every week called The Daily, or almost every day, actually, called The Daily. It's from the New York Times, and they've been doing a series over the last couple months called Caliphate. And it's about ISIS, and its main character is a young man who grew up in the United States, went over to Syria, became a part of ISIS, and then left, escaped, and came back. And he granted a journalist named Rukmini Kalamaki an interview with him. And it's really a fascinating thing. It's kind of a window into the experience of what it's like for someone who has been in ISIS. And what I find the most fascinating part of this story is just how normal this young man's life was. His dad runs a restaurant. His mom is an esthetician. And he describes his life growing up. He says it'd be pretty boring, just a normal family. I said he grew up in the United States. He actually grew up in Canada. And one of the questions he was asked was, you know, did your decision to join ISIS have anything to do with, like, being persecuted for being Muslim or anything like that? And he said, no. He was treated fine. His parents actually tried to introduce him when he started to get radicalizing a little bit. It tried to introduce him to more moderate Muslim leaders, and he says, no, that it wasn't my family who did it. He grew up very middle class, playing video games. He loved Star Wars. And so finally the journalist asks him, why did you do this? What got you involved with ISIS and made you think this is something you wanted to do with your life? And he says this. He says, I've always wanted something bigger, not something simple and boring. And Rukmini Kalamaki says that in all of her interviews and all of the journalism and study that she's done into ISIS and what this phenomenon is all about, she says that he is totally normal. She says, there are the people who, everyone saw from an early age, this guy is violent or whatever. But she says, more often than not, they're just ordinary people who are just tired of living simple and boring lives. People who are looking for more. Now, obviously, everyone who is searching for more in life doesn't fly over to Syria and join ISIS. But there are a lot of us looking for more in life. And Barbara Brown Taylor, who has done her own studies of the group of people in our society that we would call the spiritual but not religious people, these are people who oftentimes aren't a part of a church and don't really like organized religion. That's the not religious part. But they still have some sense that they are spiritual. And she says, here's what I think this means. She says, it may be the name for a longing, for more meaning, more feeling, more connection, more life. When I hear people talk about spirituality, that seems to be what they are describing. They know there is more to life than what meets the eye. They have drawn close to this more in nature, in love, in art, in grief. They would be happy for someone to teach them how to spend more time in the presence of this deeper reality. But when they visit the places where such knowledge is supposed to be found, they often find the rituals hollow and the language antique. Today, being Trinity Sunday, I think draws us into that idea that more is God. And in fact, as you read her book, An Altar in the World, which we're going to be looking at throughout the summer, she actually capitalizes more. That more is one of these names for God that we have, especially for those who don't really know God as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That what people sense when they think there has to be more, and maybe they've even experienced the moreness to life, that more that they're experiencing is the Spirit of God who is at work in the world. One of the things that the doctrine of the Trinity does for us is that it reminds us that there are always new dimensions to the mystery of God to explore, and new rooms of human life to unlock. And the Trinity is this ultimate reminder that we can never quite put God in a box, right? As soon as you think that God is the transcendent creator of all things and is kind of maybe a little bit distant and impersonal, he shows up in Jesus. And the second you think that Jesus was just this guy who lived 2,000 years ago and maybe he was God, but that's over, all of a sudden the Spirit is there, the wind blowing among us. And as soon as you think, oh, God is just this nice, comforting presence in my life, you have the Almighty Creator again, shaking things up. The Trinity reminds us that God is the moreness of our lives. There's an author, Stephen Siemens, who I think gives us a good image, actually draws out the images of Revelation to help us understand how we access and what this more is all about. He talks about in Revelation, the passage that Erica read earlier, and how there are two doors in these few verses. And each of these doors is a portal, literally, a portal into a life that is more. The life that God, the abundant life that God desires for us. The first door is probably one you've heard of before. It's in chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus stands at the door of the church of Laodicea. And this is the last of the seven letters that Jesus writes to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And in each of these letters, he's writing to these churches who are involved in ministry, who are there in the concrete reality of the world and trying to share the love of Jesus, but also their sin. And all of these churches are these messy combinations of the goods and the bads, the positives and the negatives. And for Laodicea, he says, You're lukewarm. He says, I'd rather you'd be hot like the springs that cleanse, or cold, refreshing water like the springs that you can drink. But instead, you're just somewhere in the middle. But then he gives this invitation. He says, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you, and you with me. I stand at the door and knock. And Christians, pretty much since the time of John, have read this door as not just a door to the church of Laodicea, but a door to each of our hearts, at which Jesus stands knocking and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Invite me in, and I will come in and be with you and eat and dwell with you. And so this first door, Stephen Siemens says, is a door that we can open. And when we open it, it is an invitation to Jesus to come in and shape us and guide us and transform us. And so this is not merely, there's a reason that a lot of us are hesitant to open the door. It's not merely a comforting image. It's a transformative image. Jesus is holy. We're inviting this other into our hearts and into our homes to do new things in our lives and open us up to new experiences. At the same time, it is intimate. Sharing a meal, letting his life rub off on us. That is what it is to open the door and let Jesus into our church, let Jesus into our hearts. That's the first door. But then he says there is a second door. Right at the beginning of chapter 4, then, John writes, "After this I looked, and there in heaven a door stood open. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne with one seated on the throne, and we're off and running from there into what we all know Revelation to be." This verse, this beginning of chapter 4, begins a new phase in Revelation. The first three chapters have introduced us to Jesus, and then they've been these letters to these churches, these real-life churches, these real cities amidst the Roman Empire. We've been down in the concrete nitty-gritty of church life. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, the door is open, and John goes through it, and now we begin to see the vision of the world from the heavenly throne room. We see the more of what this world is. Stephen Siemens writes, "Unlike the first door, which we must open, the second door is already open, but we must enter it. And this time, instead of our inviting the Lord Jesus to become a part of our world, he invites us to become a part of his world." We have lots of stories where writers and directors have kind of played on this idea that there are these portals all around us in the world, right? Harry Potter, Alice in Wonderland. There are others, of course. This idea that there are these little doorways all around us that if we just knew where they were, or even didn't know where they were, but we stepped through them, we would have ourselves enter into a new world. But there's another image in another show, actually, that I think is actually a better description of what's happening here. How many of you, and I know that there's going to be, I said there's going to be like 5% of people who know this, but have watched Stranger Things? Okay. So in Stranger Things, there are these portals. But in Stranger Things, you can see here, these portals actually take them into what they call the upside down. And what the upside down is the same world that they were living in, but it's all different at the same time. So the movie theaters and the houses and the forests and all of these things are there, but it's different. And in Stranger Things, it's not a place you want to be. But the point is, it's a different view of the same world. That is what John experiences in Revelation as he enters through the door. He doesn't enter into a new world like Alice in Wonderland or Hogwarts or anything like that. He enters into this place where his whole view of the real world is changed, and he sees it from a God's eye view. Siemens writes again, he says, "Often in ministry, we are so preoccupied with the first door, working in the church so that Christ can enter, that we neglect the second, participating in Christ's larger mission for the world." Both of these doors are scary in some way. One that we have to open, the other that we have to enter into. But both of them are the ways in which we enter into and experience the moreness that God has for our lives. Often we are used to asking what God is doing in our lives and going to church to find God. But Jesus, in this second door, is drawing us out into the world both to find him in ordinary life, in the world that we know, and also sending us out in the world so that we can be portals, that others can come and enter and see and know God with them. A little abstract, I understand that. But I'm willing to bet that all of us have experienced that in some way. All of us have experienced that moreness, and sometimes it happens in the extraordinary events in life. Today happens to be our 12th wedding anniversary, so think of that day almost as like this portal where we like, you just had a sense of just the holiness and the sacredness of what it is that we're doing today. The birth of a child. We've all had experiences with family and friends that just stick in our minds and memories, and we say that there was something more than just events of that day. There was something more going on. I also think that maybe you've experienced that sense of more, that sense of the sacredness of life in very ordinary moments. Maybe you were sitting at a table eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch with a brother or sister, and there was just this sense that there's something holy about this. Maybe you were planting flowers in your garden and were just caught up in the reality that there's so much going on to make this come to life. I don't know what your exact experience of that was, but it's there, and I think most of us are in tune, are in touch with that. And I think that in those moments, we do want to experience that more frequently. We want that sense of holiness and sacredness to be a part of our lives. So this Trinity Sunday, the point of the Trinity is not to dissect the image and explain it all away. I love teaching the Trinity, but that's not always the best thing to do with the Trinity. What I want to invite you to do is to expect that there is indeed more. Those senses that you have had, those are real. Follow those. And not just in the extraordinary moments of life, but in the very ordinariness of our everyday lives, God is there infusing it with sacredness. And I invite you today to stop for a moment to discern the presence of God in those moments. To invite, maybe it's a time to invite Jesus into it and say, I want to experience more in this moment. Maybe it's a chance for you to enter the door and join God in what God is already doing around you and you just didn't see it before. And sometimes this just takes 10 seconds. It just takes 10 seconds for you to stop eating breakfast and look around and realize that this, you are living in a world that God made. Maybe it's just in a conversation you're having with a friend or family member to stop and say, this is my flesh and blood. God is connecting us. God is near us right now. Whatever it is, sometimes it's just 10 seconds to remember that God is near. Whether those moments are moments of beauty or painful moments or just very ordinary moments, what door is before me? Is it the door that I need to open and let Jesus in? Is it the door I need to let myself be ushered through? People all around us are sensing that there is more to life. May we guide them. And to guide them, we have to experience it for ourselves. the more that we are looking for is not more money, is not more space in our house, is not more stuff or more makeup to make myself look more beautiful, or more muscles to make myself look stronger, or more achievements to make myself look better, the more that we are seeking is the inexhaustible presence of the triune God who makes ordinary dust come to life, and ordinary bushes burn, and an ordinary cross become a portal into the divine heart of love. Let's pray together. Majestic and incarnate and indwelling God, we have sensed that you are near. There is something more to our lives. We pray that you would open our eyes. We pray that you would give us the courage to open the door and let you in. We pray that you would give us the courage to take that step through the door that we might see the world through your eyes. We pray it all, trusting that that is your desire for us. Life, life to the fullest. In Jesus' name, amen.